Inheritance. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the American Legion, presents a story out of that great composite of visions, struggles, and victories of the American past. Our Inheritance. Yes, we Americans are heirs to a vast fortune. A fortune composed of many things.
I'm not sure we're all the way around here because...
Order! Order in the court!
John Peter Zenger's fight for freedom of speech. The gathering of a Continental Congress in Philadelphia to defy a king. The voice of a great bell proclaiming liberty. It is Marquette leading his canoes down the mighty Mississippi. And the swift clipper ships of the East India trade. Let us now go back to a significant time in America's history, one which we all share in our inheritance. By the late summer of 1776, the Continental Army had been badly beaten by the English on Long Island. With calm deliberation and with that far-seeing vision which made America what it is today, General George Washington decided that the time had come to put into use a secret weapon. This is the story of that secret weapon, and of the modest man whose courage made reality out of a fantastic dream. This is the story of the Nutmegger and the Turtle.
How much further do we have to walk to see this turtle of yours, General Parsons?
Just to the water's edge, Putnam. After all, this is a seaborne turtle.
Now, mind you, Parsons, my personal feelings are...
Yes, Putnam, I know. I've been hearing about your personal feelings all morning.
Ahoy, General Parsons! We're anchored over here!
Morning, David! That's David Bushnell, the inventor of the turtle. Now, may I suggest diplomacy? He's quite young, quite sensitive. You may not be impressed, true. But let's not forget that General Washington was very much impressed.
You must be General Putnam, sir.
I am.
A pleasure, sir. Nice day.
Very.
I suppose you gentlemen would like to see the turtle. I warn you, sir, she's not really much to look at, but she's serviceable. Serviceable, sir. I told General Washington...
Suppose, David, we let General Putnam decide for himself.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, of course. Well, there she is.
You mean this wooden clam here?
Clam? Well, I suppose she could be described like that, sir.
And you say this clam can contain a man, travel underwater like a fish, and attack a British man of war with a large magazine load of explosives?
That's right, General. Here, sir. Old frame timber. Solid iron bands. All seams caulked and the whole smeared over with tar. Completely waterproof, sir.
Yes, I can smell the tar.
Notice these eight windows on top. Perfect visibility for the pilot. Let me unhinge it so you can have a look inside, sir. 6 feet, bottom to top. Mm-hmm. Ample room for a man to move around.
What are these odd-looking compartments here?
For submerging underwater. These foot springs here open a valve which admits water.
I'm sure this vessel is capable of sinking. How does it get back on the surface?
Well, there are two hand pumps here. They withdraw the water from the compartments and force it back outside, allowing the vessel to rise.
Huh. Well, Putnam, what do you think? Pretty ingenious, isn't it?
I suppose these rudder things on each side are for locomotion?
Exactly, sir. By turning these cranks, you can easily do about 3 miles an hour. A good speed, all things considered.
Let me try to get the whole picture. A man climbs in through the top. I suppose that's locked from the outside?
Correct, sir.
He drives out to sea by using these paddles. Encounters a British man of war by approaching under the water, having submerged himself previously. And then what?
Why, he attaches the bomb to the man of war.
What bomb?
With this large egg-shaped container right here. It's attached to the turtle here by the rudder. Contains 130 pounds of gunpowder. Enough to blow General Howe halfway back to England.
I may add, General Putnam, sir, the bomb contains a clock and a gun lock with good flint that cannot misfire. Once attached to a man of war, the clock is set to allow the turtle 20 minutes to escape. Ample time, sir.
Well, Putnam, what do you think?
You know, Parsons, this dilapidated clam might actually work. Yes, it might actually work. But who's going to be the pilot?
Well, I have already posted a notice for volunteers, but so far no one has shown any inclinations of becoming a fish.
Gentlemen, I'd be very glad to do it.
No, David, no, I've already told you. We need you on land. No, this calls for a very special type of man. Offhand, I'd say it calls for an improviser.
I know. Sergeant Ezra Lee.
Who?
Let's get back to camp, Parsons. I think I have the captain for your American turtle. Have you no mind, Parsons? I'll speak to Sergeant Ezra Lee. He's the most unruly hunk of soldier. Connecticut volunteer. Nutmegger from head to toe. Stubborn, unpredictable, but a tremendous good soldier. I told him all about the turtle, and he's thinking it over. He still has 10 days to go in the guardhouse.
The guardhouse?
Oh, yes. Fighting. And again, I don't even bother reducing him to private anymore. This time, he beat up 3 Massachusetts Patriots. The only thing they ever agree on is the color of the red coats the British soldiers wear. Yes, come in.
Sergeant Ezra Lee reporting his orders, sir.
How do you, Sergeant? Where's your military escort?
Well, I left him at the guardhouse, sir. Being a Connecticut man like myself, why, he didn't see the need for both of us to walk all the way over. Anyway, sir, I always like doing things by myself.
Like getting in trouble, huh?
Gosh, sir, trouble sure has a habit of sitting in my knapsack. Nothing I can do about it, I guess.
Sergeant Lee, just exactly what was this last fight of yours about?
Oh, about talking?
Talking?
Yes, sir. Just talking to myself was what done it. Some Massachusetts men, why, they listened in, and they made a few remarks in which they voiced general opinions about Connecticut and particular ones about Lyme. That's where I was born, sir. And I asked them most politely to take back what they'd said, and the next thing I knew, why, the 3 of them were on the ground. My hands weren't even bruised.
Do you always go around talking to yourself?
Most of the time, sir. You see, there aren't too many people back in Lyme, and sometimes, why, I just get real hungry for words. Besides, way I figure, talking to yourself is safer than talking to others. Seems every time I talk to others, darned if I don't talk myself right into a big mess of trouble.
Yes. Sergeant, have you thought about the turtle?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I have.
Well?
I kind of think I'd like to try it, sir. Now, mind you, I don't particularly care for water, except for drink. But since I'll be the captain, the mate, and the hull crew rolled into one, I guess it appeals to me. Way I figure, I can't get into too much trouble as long as I'm by myself. Isn't that so, sir?
Steady now, Ezra. That's it. Ease her in slowly. Slowly. Fine. That does it. Now wait till I get the top open.
Yeah. Are the compartments working good?
Oh, she sinks real fast. Real fast.
900 pounds of lead ballast on the bottom help.
Just the same, sir. It's the coming back up I'm mainly concerned about.
How do you feel, Sergeant?
You know something, General Parsons? Why, even after 2 months of this, every time I step out of the turtle, I feel like Noah climbing out of the whale's belly. Glad to be alive and not believing any part of it. Mr. Bushnell?
Yes?
She's awfully tight of late. I'm afraid you didn't have a nutmegger in mind when you designed her. Now, I tell you, a Massachusetts man, he'd fit in real snug, but... Mr. Bushnell, what are you doing now?
Attaching a little gadget that'll permit you to measure the depth of your dive. Now, this cork will rise as you go down and fall as you come up. 1-inch rise of cork will mean 1 fathom deep.
Well, it's beyond me, but I guess it's all right.
How's the phosphorescent wood? Does it work? Have enough light to see the compass?
Nope. Sort of went out the moment I submerged.
Wouldn't candles do?
Candles consume the air too fast. No, I'll have to write to Silas Dean. He can ask Dr. Benjamin Franklin if he might know of any kind of phosphorus that'll give even more light in the dark and not consume air.
Can you breathe all right in there, Sergeant?
Yes, General. There's two hoses. They feed me lots of air when I'm on the surface.
And below?
Well, then I've just got what's inside the turtle. 30 minutes worth. If I ever need more, why, I'll just have to breathe slower.
Sergeant, I had hopes of putting the turtle into operation just as soon as possible. Things are a bit on the dark side for us. British have Long Island, Staten Island, Governor's Island. The sound is getting far too dangerous for any American vessel. We're inside of a bottle. The British are tightening the cork more every day. There's a sizable fleet in the harbor right now, along with a large number of transports. And leading the procession is General Howe's flagship, the Eagle. She's a big one. 64 guns. You can understand my concern.
I think it'd be rather nice if the turtle had get a chance to chew a few of the eagle's feathers.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Sergeant. But considering the turtle's condition...
Well, I think she's in fine shape, sir.
Well, from what I just saw and heard...
Sir, I'm the captain of the turtle, ain't I?
Well, yes, you are, Sergeant.
Very good. General Parsons, as captain of the turtle, I want to report that my vessel is in the best of condition... Furthermore, I've spoken to my first mate and to all members of my vast crew. There's not a single objection in the lot, sir. We all concur. Now then, do we pluck the feathers of the eagle?
Captain, I'm afraid I'm outnumbered. We'll baptize the turtle. We'll take her overland to the Hudson River, launch her, and then have two whale boats tore out to sea. And after that, it'll be in your hands, Sergeant Captain Lee.
General Parsons, sir?
Yes, Captain Hawkins?
You got the little clam all tied on snug to the whaleboats, ready to go. She's a small one, isn't she?
It's never size that matters, Captain, in either men or ships.
Or the crew. You'll pardon me saying so, sailors being sailors, if you know what I mean. Well... They've been betting on just how long the turtle will stay afloat.
Hmm. And what's the majority opinion?
Well, considering the high wind, the strong side, and the strength of the waves, the men give it an hour and a half on the outside.
That sounds like Massachusetts talk to me.
Nothing better than straight Massachusetts talk.
No, Sergeant Lee.
It's Captain Lee now, sir. So you give it an hour, do you, Captain Hawkins?
I do.
Well, then, it looks like a nutmegger. I'll have to teach you a few things about navigation.
There's nothing any nutmegger can teach me.
No?
Then suppose we start with a lesson in courtesy.
That'll be enough, Sergeant. Captain Hawkins.
Sir?
Tell your men to stand by. We're ready to tow the turtle out to sea. And Sergeant Lee, from now on, if you've got to talk, talk to yourself.
Hold the turtle close to the whaleboat.
Aye, aye. All right, Sergeant. Over with you. Putnam and I will lock the hinge top once you're inside.
Sergeant, you know what to do, don't you?
Yes, General, yes. I paddle over to the Eagle, submerge, get close to the hull, work a large spike into the Eagle, attach a line from the explosive magazine, pull the trigger, and get away before I get caught in the explosion. And I do all this in the light of two phosphorescent pieces of wood as bright as a dying ember. Why, General, there's nothing to it. A baby could do it.
Now, Sergeant, it's not too late. We can postpone this if you have any doubts.
I'll never give a Massachusetts man an opportunity to laugh at a nutmegger, General. There's only one thing bothers me.
And what's that?
I kind of wish I knew how to swim. It's the one detail I forgot with all the preparations. Well, man can't think of everything. Here I go.
Steady, lads. Steady.
Right.
Hold that ladder steady.
Right.
You'll be getting enough water in due time.
Fine, General. You can lock the lid on the coffin. By the way...
Yes?
If I come out of this alive, will you forget those 10 days guardhouse I owe you?
Get the eagle, and I'll get you a medal.
I'll settle for those 10 days.
All right. I promise.
Thank you kindly.
Now, duck your head.
Close her up.
Good luck, Sergeant. Good luck.
What time is it now, Parsons?
A little past two.
Sergeant Lee has been gone for 3 hours. He should have reached the Eagle by now. He's been sitting here on shore since midnight.
I know.
No explosion. Not even a sign of one. What could have gone wrong?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Well, you know more about the turtle than I do. It's your pet project.
Yes, that's the whole trouble. Perhaps I know a little too much. Shall I tell you what could go wrong? Those strong waves could cause the turtle to develop a leak. When there's no way Lee can get out. A floating log could break a window. A stiff jolt could set off the bomb prematurely. Well, there are 100 things that could go wrong. Oh. Putnam, I never should have permitted him to venture out.
Well, let's not suspect the worst. What do you think Sergeant Lee is doing at this moment?
If I know Lee, nothing is bothering him. He's probably sitting there in the dark having a mighty fine conversation with himself. That glorious fool.
All right, Captain Lee. Now, call a halt and take a bearing just where you are. That should be the Eagle straight ahead, right? Right, sir. Good. Now, if you hadn't been quite so sure of yourself, you wouldn't have let the tide carry you miles out to sea. Suppose you're tired from paddling back. Well, it serves you right. There, see? Even the phosphorus wood is tired. You won't be able to see a thing shortly. A fine captain you are. Easy now, easy. There'll be a watch on deck, probably dreaming of some fair little English lass. Go easy, you don't want to wake him. You're not exactly dressed to pay court to General Howe. Easy, lad. Easy does it. Now then, unless you're a complete fool, we should have made contact with the Eagle. Oh, I have a few things to tell Mr. Bushnell about how waterproof the turtle is. Come now, Captain. Get those nutmegger muscles to work. You've been raised on good milk and clear air. Turn her. Turn her hard. Each turn is an inch closer to freedom. Turn her, lad. Turn her. Hold her. What now? She won't turn any further now, will she, lad? Metal. A wooden ship with metal sheathing on the bottom. Sergeant Lee, the turtle has been outfoxed by an eagle. What now? What's that? Right, you are. We'll submerge and try the other side. There are two sides to every problem. Now, take a deep breath, my lad. Stop talking. You'll need every ounce of air you can get.
It's 5 o'clock, Parsons.
Yes, I know.
Be light soon.
That might be a blessing in disguise. I've been looking through this spyglass till I'm blind. And every hour that British fleet looks bigger, more imposing, and more dangerous.
General Parsons, sir.
Yes, Captain Lucas.
The man brewed some tea. I thought perhaps you gentlemen might like to have some.
Right. That's very kind.
No sign of her yet?
Not even a ripple in the water.
Brave man, that Sergeant Lee. Even though he is a nutmaker. Takes a lot of cold courage to go out there alone in the dark. British fleet on all sides of you.
Parsons. Parsons, I see something out there.
Give me the glass.
Over there. Due east.
Is it the turtle, sir?
I can't make it out. Wait. Yes. Yes, it is the turtle. Thank heavens he's safe.
Not quite, Parsons. Look over there. Towards Governor's Island. Looks like the whole British army is lined up on the green.
No. If only the sergeant can get by without their seeing him. Captain Hawkins.
Sir.
What odds will you give me that he makes it?
Sir, this is one time I'm not betting. I'm just going to stand here with my fingers crossed, and for the first time in my life, I'm going to say a prayer for a nutmegger.
Well, Captain Lee, what now? The Eagle's metal bottom from port to starboard and bow to stern. I think you better head back for land. Now then, here's how we stand, my lad. You stay on top of the water. They're sure to see you from the island. Submerge, and you can't see the compass to know where you're going. You'll probably die for lack of air. All right, now, there's no time for lengthy debate, men. You know what you're up against. So, I tell you, let's have a show of hands. Do we stay on top, or do we play the turtle proper and duck our heads? All those in favor of on top, all those for going under. All right, my lads, the majority wins. Under the water it is, and let's not stop until we run smack into the coast.
How long has the turtle been underwater now?
35 minutes.
He was out 2 miles when he submerged. His top speed is 3 miles an hour, and if nothing goes wrong, he should make it in 40 minutes.
Providing he travels in a straight line.
How long will the air inside the turtle last?
30 minutes.
Any sign yet?
None.
General, I see something rippling in the water.
Here.
Right close to the shore. Too big for a fish.
The little clam. Big as life. He's made it. By George, he's made it. Well, Putnam, what's your opinion now of our underwater secret weapon?
General Parsons, I think the turtle has a good chance of being the grandfather to a long line of very successful offspring.
Come in.
Sergeant Lee reporting as ordered, sir.
At ease, Sergeant. I sent for you because there's a visitor here who'd like a few words with you. Sergeant, this is General George Washington.
Sir.
At ease, Sergeant. How's the turtle?
Why, she's fine, sir. Gets a little frisky every now and then, but she's fine.
Gets frisky, does she? She must be a lot like her captain. You know, Sergeant, the turtle has been one of my pets for a long time. Even before that unfortunate attempt on the Eagle. You've been very active since then, haven't you?
Well, General, I tell you, I guess the turtle has just taken a natural dislike to the Redcoats. The only way I can count for it is must have Connecticut wood in its belly.
A nice thought, Sergeant, only I know for a fact that it's Massachusetts wood.
Massachusetts?
Oh, don't feel badly, Sergeant. It's all American wood. And that's what really counts. Yes, yeah, some of my reports are most interesting. The turtle has been distributing explosive kegs all through the Sound, along the Delaware River, even as far as Bloomingdale. The British fleet just hasn't been able to dodge them. Tremendous losses. They're mad as hornets. Good. And then the situation about the British frigate Cerberus. Tell me about that.
Well, sir, I attached an explosive egg to one of their lines. The crew, kind of curious to see what was so heavy at the end, they pulled it in and hauled it on deck. Oh, it made a pretty explosion and blasted the Cerberus to bits.
You'll enjoy this, Sergeant. One of my spies intercepted this letter. It's from Captain Simus of the late Cerberus. The ingenuity of these people, that means you, Sergeant, is singular in their secret methods of mischief. Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. Well, Sergeant, you can gather from this that I'm very pleased with both you and the turtle. I'm convinced that thanks to your courage, underwater crafts like the turtle will have a tremendous future. Now, coming back to the Eagle. We should have known that British ships were using Carpathia, but unfortunately, our military intelligence is still in its infancy. And that's why I've come to see you, Sergeant. I'd like to have you on my staff as a spy.
A spy? Me, sir?
It's a dangerous profession, Sergeant. Calls for courage, for improvising. But mostly it calls for a man who likes to work alone. And for a man who, when he has to talk, makes sure that he only talks to himself. Well, does that appeal to you, Sergeant?
General Washington, sir? When do I start?
The amazing record of Sergeant Ezra Lee is now part of our inheritance. So is the foresight of General Parsons, General Putnam, and especially General George Washington for realizing that someday the little clam, the American turtle, would grow in size and power and mobility to finally become the atomic submarine as we know it today. These are the things and the people who have made and will continue to make the America of which we are so justly proud. This is our inheritance. You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. We are privileged this evening to hear from the National Vice Commander of the American Legion, Department of North Dakota, Mr. Truman C. Wold.
The American Legion has always maintained that to preserve the American way of life, we must inculcate moral and spiritual values and a sound knowledge of the process of representative government in the minds and hearts of American youth. For that reason, we have, through the years, designed and supported a variety of youth activities. Approximately 1 million boys play baseball each year under the supervision of American Legion Junior Baseball. The objective of this program has been to teach the boys the qualities of teamwork, respect for rules, sportsmanship, and fair play. American Legion Boys State and Boys Nation annually provide a dramatic learn-by-doing experience in representative government for the youth of our land. Boys under this program in every way simulate the actual form and functioning of our United States government. This, we believe, is important citizenship training. As I see America's youth embrace these programs annually, I am impressed with their fresh faces, clean minds, sturdy bodies, and high moral values. Watching them, I realize that tomorrow's citizens will, under God, preserve and promote the way of life which is our birthright as Americans, our inheritance.
Thank you, Mr. Truman C. Wold. Next week, Inheritance will take you on another journey to the pages of history, to a time when Americans, dreaming of the future, forged that which we possess today. Today's story, The Nutmegger and the Turtle, was written by Guy DeVry and featured Robert Easton as Sergeant Ezra Lee. Included in the cast in order of their appearance were Tom McKee, William Johnstone, Paul Dubov, Kurt Martell, and Byron King. The original music was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Inheritance is produced and directed for the National Broadcasting Company and the American Legion by Albert McCleary. This is John Wall speaking. Tonight, hear Meet the Press on the NBC Radio Network.